Thank you. Well, the time has come for our speaker to speak to us. Certainly doesn't need any introduction, but someone who we're all very familiar with, our brother Hubert, who, as we think throughout the history of our life, everybody in this room, I'm sure we can draw upon some special moment that we've had with him. And I know he's a sincere worker for the Lord. He desires to bring forth the Lord's kingdom in his time. So I'm going to give you our brother and our speaker tonight, Brother Hubert.
It's on.
Good. Hey, we're doing all right. How about that? Well, I want to thank the sisters for that pretty song. And I'm grateful for the things that has been taking place. My thoughts tonight has been the love of God. And you know, I just feel like that we have each been blessed so many times, and as we were singing in the song tonight in song service, and that Jesus took my burden. In the third verse there, that he said there in that song, it says, "You to the Lord belong." And indeed, that's true. You know, we have been blessed with his love and with his tender compassion. We have been blessed by his direction and by the things that he has done. And we saw our brothers bless the oil. And each time I think about those things and about the love of God, I think about the very avenue of prayer that he's given us, where we can talk to him and seek his guidance, seek his direction, to ask him to give us wisdom and discernment and to shield us from the power of the evil one. And it comes, you know, even the very thought as they bless that oil, that in his love for his children, he gave us that gift to be able to call for the elders and have them anoint them with the oil that has been consecrated and set aside to bless them and to help them over their needs, whether it be spiritually or emotionally or physically. And he's given us the gift of blessing our little ones. And that he says that those little ones, that their angels behold the face of my Father daily. And so, I know that it's not possible for me to be able to bring to you tonight all the love that God has for the children of men and the things that he's done, because there's so much. And as we come here tonight, we're blessed. We come here, we gather together. And as we gather together, why we come and we come here and we come and somebody says anything to us and they say, "Well, what's your name?" And you say, "Well, we're called the Church of Christ." And you know, the scriptures tells us, and I'm going to go into some of that there perhaps this evening. The scriptures tells us that that we are the brides of Christ. Did you ever think about that? The scriptures tells us that Christ, that he's the bridegroom of the bride. He tells us how important each of us that's in this room tonight is to him. Yeah. And I want to go into a little bit of that this evening, and I'm going to start in the 1 John, the second chapter, and I'm going to read the 15th through the 17th verse. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth by, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." But he that does the will of God. And you know, when we look at our situation that we have in the world today and the things and what's going on constantly, we understand that people love the world and the things of the world more than they do of the Lord. That's the problems that we have. It's a problem that's endeavoring to teach our young people to go away from the Lord and to go their own way and to do their own thing. That's what that amounts to. Long as we're in 1 John, I'd like to go over to the 4th chapter of 1 John. And there in the 4th chapter of 1 John, I want to read the 7th through the 14th. Well, that's 7th through the 12th. For brevity's sake. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loves us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." That the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. How important that is. And he did. The Father sent his Son to do just exactly that. And we bear his name. That's why we bear the name Christ. Yeah, because we're his wife. We're his wife. And it's important that we understand that we are his wife. That's why we call our name Christ. That we're his wife. And we know that the scriptures, I'm not going to go into it, but he tells about the husband and the wife and one thing and another. And he tells us there in the scriptures, he says that the husband is the head of the wife. And he goes on onto a lot of things concerning that, and that the wife should do this and one thing to another. And what is he really talking about? He's talking about that Christ is our husband. And he's the head of the wife. He's the head of the Church of Christ. And he has taught and directed us the way that we're to go. He has gave his life for us. Yes, he's our husband. And we're his wife. And the scriptures tells us that we're to know and to follow after that Son of God. That we're to obey those things. That we're to do those things. I'm going to go a little further here in the fourth chapter. I want to read the 16th through the 21st verse. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love ceaseth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made of perfect love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. That we heard our brother Adam preach about forgiveness. And how important those things are. And if we love someone, we learn to forgive. And he brought out a specific point there that time. He said that we're to forgive, but he says maybe the person that we're forgiving won't forgive us. But the point is that we are to forgive if we're to follow Christ, that we have forgiveness. And that we hold love and have a hope for the welfare of their soul. We have a hope for the welfare of their life. And that they would have that life of peace and of harmony and happiness. And that comes through the gift of Christ. That comes through the gift of his Son. Those things. That's when you have a peace. When his Spirit is with you. When his Spirit is directing you. You have a peace. And you have answers that you sometimes wonder about. You have the direction of the Spirit because he loves us. And he has a hope for us. His desire is that we will come and live with him. That's his desire. That's why he sent his Son to come and to teach us and to direct us and to do those things. That was the purpose of that. I'd like to go over to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read the first three verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That love is important. Love is important. We have seen it exercised. We have seen it exercised so much in God. Because when we're out of shape and we're doing things that are not necessarily the things that we should be doing, He's given us another gift, and that's the gift of repentance. And to walk that way no more. And be forgiven of those things. So when we stop to think about our Father in heaven and His Son, they're trying all that they can do to help us. They're trying all, and it's all in your ballpark and mind, because He's given us our own free agency. We can reject Christ. We can reject God the Father. We can do as we want, and we can go as we want. Yeah, we can do that, all right. But He tells us, you know, that we shouldn't procrastinate the period of time of probation that He's given us. That it's essential and important that we follow after the gospel of Christ, that we listen and give heed and know that He has sent even His only begotten Son to direct us and to suffer and to give His life for us that we might have life. That's quite a love. That's a love that I don't know of anybody here wants to give their child away, that wouldn't want them to suffer, that wouldn't want them to have to go through all that kind of thing or have nails driven through them or anything, you know. I don't know of any of us that would like that. Yet God the Father did, because He has a hope for us. He has a hope for those that have gathered together here tonight and others that will hear the gospel. That's why He tells us there in the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 14th verse that He says that the gospel of the kingdom is to go to all the world, and then the end shall come. In the 121st verse of Mosiah in the Book of Mormon, it says when that gospel goes to all the world, He says nobody's going to be found blameless. They're going to have to make their choice. But the little children only. And so, you know, He has tried to reach out to us. He has tried so many different directions. And we could go on and on and on by the hours and realize the many things that the Lord has tried to tell us. Come unto me and my son. And not be tormented day and night forever and ever. Come and feel the love. Come and feel that direction. Come and feel those things. And recognize from whence it comes. It comes through the one that created us, that breathed the breath of life in us, and is endeavoring to reach out to us and say, follow thou me. Follow me and do the things you see me do, so we can come and go live with Him and His Father. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of this whole thing. And that's what we're doing here. We're working out our salvation. We're working out those things that is so essential and so important. It's really something for us to think about. Because just think of what He has given for us. Just think. Just think. And have we tuned our ears in to His call? When He says, follow thou me and do the things you see me do, have we done that, or have we decided we're going to do our own thing? It's important that we have to come to a conclusion that if we want to go live in a place where there's peace and harmony, we're going to have to tune our ears into the call of the Lord and listen to Him and know that He's the only one that can save us. There's not another. And know that we have an enemy to our soul. We call him Satan or the devil, or he's been called a lot of things. And he's there trying to call and say, oh, don't pay attention to that. You don't want to learn anything about what he says. You can do as you please. And do it. When it comes down, why, it'll be all right. Everything will be okay. And the scriptures tells us that if we go out of this life rebelling against God, when we come back and stand before him in the judgment, he says we come back with the same spirit we go out with. Is that a spirit that don't care? Is that a spirit that's too busy to hear the word of the Lord? Is that a spirit that got themselves all tied up because they want to do their thing? Or have we come to the conclusion in reality the happiness comes from the Lord? If we're living an evil life, we don't have the happiness and the peace and the harmony that we do when we're living the Spirit of the Lord and following after Him. It don't come together. And so it's important that we understand that He has directed our path and has put us out that we would know and know the truth. And He has caused the scriptures to be written that we would know. And he got very technical about that, and he says, we're going to be judged by these books. You know, that's something for us to think about. If we're going to be judged by these things that he's caused to be written, perhaps we better find out what's written and be serious about them and come to the position that, you know, that's where we're at. You know, I know that Brother Don, when he was in the service, why, he used a compass. I know when I was running a patrol boat and stuff, I used a compass all the time. Sometimes you couldn't hardly see your hand in front of your face. Sometimes you had to really watch it close. But if you wanted to get someplace and didn't run over a shoal or something and sink and all the things there, that you had to pay attention to that compass. And you know, it didn't make any difference. If you was in different places, sometimes that compass was different to find the north. But you know, God has provided for us a compass to eternal life. And it's called the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And this can direct us directly to the place where we say we want to go, and that's the kingdom of heaven. This is our compass to eternal life. And there's no mistakes here. We can depend on what this compass says. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference if you're in a terrible fog. It don't make any difference what it is. Or problems. This compass here will direct us to eternal life. That's how important this compass is. That's why he has brought it forth and given to us. And I know a lot of the world don't believe part of the compass and don't have anything to do with it. Some of them they don't like any of it. But those who are trying to come to the knowledge of the truth and the understanding of how to walk, this is the compass that has to do with the welfare of our soul. There isn't another. This compass is going to be opened up as we stand before him and judged according to our works, how we applied this compass to our life. Or whether we just looked off someplace and said, oh no, I'm not paying attention to that. I'm going to run my own tour. Well, you might. But I'll tell you what, when you find people that are doing that, I've seen it and I know Don has. When we see that, they're calling for help because they're sinking. They're going down. And it's important for us to realize that that's why He has preserved us. That's why He has sent it to us in His love, so that we would know what's required of us so we can go live with Him and His Son. That's what it's all about. That's how important it is that we realize that He has caused those scriptures to be written to save us. If we went over to the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi, you'll find it says that God the Father even commanded them to write. And of course, we know that was way back then, but He says, and also to write those things that was to come and be done between then and now. For those of us of the Church of Christ that's hearing that voice tonight, those scriptures were written for us so that we would know, so we wouldn't have to listen to that still small voice that pulls you away from the Lord and says, oh, here I am, you know. Oh, you don't have to pay attention to that. But that we can know what's required of us and know the path that we have to walk and recognize the safe path, not the path that's directed by the power of Satan, but the path that's been directed by the one who came and gave His life for us. For that same individual that stood up on the mount there at Jerusalem, and I know that some of them here that in the sound of my voice has been to Jerusalem. And it tells us that the Lord stood on that mountain. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, and ye would not. Are we there? You know anybody that's ever had chickens and you see a hen with a bunch of chicks, you know how often she gathers them and protects them and takes care of them. Well, He's doing that for us tonight. We've had the opportunity to come here and meet here without all the problems that Brian and Dwayne just got out of, just on paperwork. Where we can come and enjoy one another. Where we can come and enjoy the compass that God has given us to lead our path and direct our spirit to the place we're supposed to go. That's how important those compasses are. And so we find that we come together, and it's important then for us to listen to our husband. If we're Christ, if we're the bride of Christ, then we better start listening to our husband, because he's the only one that has the way to eternal life. Nobody else does. Nobody else does. He's the only one. And his directions, his compass is sure and true, bar none. And there isn't another. If it gets to the wisdom of men or the wisdom of Satan or somebody like that, that compass is not good for us. We have a compass that was set in order by God the Father through His Son to be able to direct our path to eternal life. That's the compass that we need to come and to understand that things are important. Are they important to you? How many people here is listening to the compass? Or are you drawing? What are we doing? Are we listening to the fact that only His words can save us? Have we made up our mind that we're going to follow our husband as the body of Christ? Or are we going to be too busy and too messing around to listen and to follow after him and find the words of the Lord and know where we're to walk. That's important. Whether we're young or old or middle age, that compass is the only way that's going to get us to the kingdom of heaven and get us out of a lot of problems and heartache and strife and everything through the world. It's the only one. There isn't another. If this love comes from him to you and I, and we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters, and we do that, we're already on the way for our happiness because we love our brothers and sisters. If we love our brothers and sisters, we love the teachings of our Father in heaven, because that's what he teaches. He teaches we're to love one another. We're to help one another, that we should have a hope for one another, that we need to do those things, and how important it is. I'd like to go to St. John in the 13th chapter there in St. John, and I'm going to read, I'm going to read 34 and 35 verses. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Boy, that's something else, that we're to love one another like he loves us. Think about that. Think about the responsibility that we have, that if we have that love one for another. Because if we have that love for another, we have a hope for every soul that's in this room that they'll listen to the Lord and follow after him. That we'll begin to realize how important it is that we listen to the Lord and follow after him. Because if we don't, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to have trouble. It's the only way. Those scriptures are the only compass that will get us to the place where we say we want to go. There isn't another. That's how important it is, brothers and sisters. And you know, we can do all kinds of stuff and think that we can get by on all kinds of things, but there's something about the Lord. He knows your very thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you got in your heart. He knows what you got on your mind, whether you think you'll father him or you're going to do as you please. He knows what we're thinking. Isn't that something? He knows his wife. He knows us. He knows the Church of Christ. He knows the thinking of the Church of Christ and how important it is that we listen to our husband and know that he's the only way, that there isn't another. That's how important that is. And so, you know, for us to come and to bring in these things, and if we were to go over in the fifth chapter of Ether in the Book of Mormon, there in the fifth chapter of Ether in the Book of Mormon, and read the 34th and the 35th verse, maybe I'll better go over there. That's the fifth chapter. That'll be on page 749, if you want to follow along. I'm going to read the 33rd and the 34th verse. He says, "And again I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world even unto the laying down of thy life for the world, that thou mightest take it up again to prepare a place for the children of men. And now I know that this love which thou hast had for the children of men is charity." This love, he says, I know that this love that you have had for the children of men is charity. "They cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of a father. Without that charity, it's important that we apply charity, that we have that charity, that we work with that charity, that we do those things. I want to go to Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians. And there in the first chapter of Colossians, I want to read the 20th through the 24th. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. How important that is, whether it be that or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present the holy and unavailable and unmovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereto I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in the sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of the affections of God in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. That his body's sake is the church. Well, I see people in here that's married. And according to this place here and these scriptures, tells you when you're married, you're no longer two, but you become one. That means that we're supposed to be one in Christ. We're his body. We're married to him. That's why they said that he was, that when they went to John and said, remember that guy you baptized? Well, he's down there baptizing people. They're down there doing that. And John the Baptist said, I want to tell you, I'm not the Christ. He said, it's the bridegroom that has the bride. And I'm out here listening and enjoying what he's teaching. That's what it is. That's what we have. That we're his body. In Ephesians, it tells you that we're his body. That we're one. We're supposed to be one in Christ. In Galatians, it tells you that when you're baptized, he says you put on Christ. Have we? If we put on Christ, how are we living? Have we really done that? Are we really coming to an understanding that in this body of Christ, this church of Christ, that it has a husband, and that husband is Christ, he's the head of it, and he has directed and taught us the way that we must walk to be able to live with him? Have we thought about that? Have we thought about how we're living? If we put on Christ, how are we living? How are we thinking? What are we doing? It's important that we come to the conclusion that if we're putting on Christ, he expects us to walk after him. He expects us. He don't expect us to put on some other kind of garment and do everything I want to do or whatever it is. He expects us to follow after the teachings of the Son of God that we can go live with Him. That's why it says that we're His body. We're His body. That He's our head. He's our director. And He should be. And we have to depend on those things. I know I'm going along here and I'm going over and I'm telling you what some of the scriptures are saying because of my time. But like I told you, if we want to really come to the conclusion of the love of God, we'd be here a long time. You'd be hungry and you'd be thirsty. Because throughout the scriptures, He directs us the way to eternal life. Because He gave His life for that. He created it. He breathed the breath of life within us. And He has a hope for us. He has a hope for us. And He certainly has a hope for His wife. He certainly has a hope for us, of those that have gathered together tonight and have gathered together in other places, wherever they're at, and those that want to follow after those things and follow after the compass, how important it is that we come to that understanding, that we do that. Because it's just exactly like He says, you know, He says, follow thou Me and do the things you see Me do. Well, are we? Is there anybody in here that's not following Him now? Where's your mind? Where's your thinking? What you doing? Are you really thinking about the Lord? Are you really thinking about the compass that He has put out? Or are you got your mind someplace else? I don't know, but the Lord does. He knows what you're thinking and He knows what you're doing. Just exactly. Because He's going to judge you when you stand before Him and He opened up this compass here, these books. That's how important it is, brothers and sisters. And it's important for us to realize that, yes, we are the wife of Christ. That He's going to come back to the church. That's what the scriptures say. He's coming back to His wife. And His wife has made herself ready, and she's clothed with white raiment. And the white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. If we're there, will we be putting a white raiment on her, or will we have black spots in it? How are we planning to get that? What are we going to do? That's where we're at, brothers and sisters, bar none. We're making that in our life, and wherever one, this whole world's got to work out their life, and you can't do it for somebody else. I can't do it for you. Jay can't do it for you. None of the apostles here can do it for you. Your mother, your father, no? Or whoever you got here, you're on your own. You have to use this compass yourself and apply it to your life. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. We can try to teach you. We can try to pray for you. We can do all those things, but you still have the right to go ahead and go to hell and be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's why as we come, I want you to think about some of the things I've said before. And one of them is that we're here in this life, and you have a right, and I have a right to commit spiritual suicide. We cannot obey Christ. We can do as we please. And we can go down and be tormented day and night with Satan. We're working out our own salvation. That's what we're here for. That's what it's about. And so it's important that we come to the conclusion that it isn't good to commit suicide. It's better to follow after the compass of eternal life that has been preserved and given to us by the love of God so that we would know what he says to do and not to do. So that we would have that guidance that he's given us. And that we would know that he gave it to us because of his love, his desire for us. For that desire, because he loves us. And he has a hope for us. And it's important that we have a hope for ourselves, in as much that when we put on Christ, that we wear him. And that we follow after the compasses that he's given us, so that we know the way to eternal life and not be fooled. Because there's a lot of the world, and old Satan's always telling you different things. Oh, that's all right. Just do as you please, you know, and yet, no, no. It's important that we follow our husband as the body of Christ. It's important that we go to him and follow after his directions. Because indeed, he is our oneness and he is our salvation. That's what that amounts. There isn't another. He's the only one. And so, I have a lot of things here that I could read. I want to go over to Galatians, in the third chapter of Galatians. And there in the third chapter of Galatians, I want to read the 27th verse. Somebody have that? Well, maybe I better read it myself. Galatians, the third chapter, and the 27th verse. Okay, are we ready? He says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I quoted that to you. I thought maybe I better read it. That if we've been baptized, we've put on Christ. We have an awesome responsibility. Every one of us in this room has a responsibility to live a life that we would bear a light to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. It's not just for the ministry. It's for all the sisters, it's for the children, it's for everyone that is old enough to hear the words of the Lord and be able to read that compass and know what's required of us and what we're to do and how important it is. That's where we're at. And so as I come tonight, I've just really started to tell you the love of God he has for us. Because he's done a lot of things to encourage us, to help us, to have life. And you know, if we follow after his teachings, and if the Lord is the Lord of your house, if he's the Lord of your house, you'll have a happy home. Because you'll love one another, you'll be able to forgive one another, you'll be able to do the things that is required of him when he's the Lord of the house. Because you know he's there to help us in any way he can, that we will be able to go live with him and his Father. That's the purpose of it. May God bless us to that end.